right, I told all of you there's absolutely nothing to worry about with Alek Manoah making the start against the Detroit Tigers. I think I said on Blair and Barker a couple of days ago, and I repeated it earlier today as well. The decision to bring Alek Manoah up and start him against the Detroit Tigers was a slam dunk. It was the obvious thing to do. It was very well thought out. The timing was perfect. Those of you, shame on those of you, shame on those of you who had little faith. Kevin Barker, I'm looking at you.
You feel better? There. You okay now? Yeah.
I'm
you
okay
got
now.
That off your chest?
I got that off my chest.
You good?
I'm good. Just, I don't understand why people, why I have so much faith in this team and the decision-making process, and I don't understand why people have such a hard time having that same degree of faith.
Okay. Look, that's
you
a
know hard, how to react to that.
That's a, it is very hard to follow.
Yeah, that's a lot of bull is what it is. I was scared. You know me. I was like, dude, I was lighting candles. I mean, I was going to church.
I guess
I did a whole, I got my lucky hat on.
Really?
I was doing a whole bunch of stuff.
Wow.
I mean, I was basically going to burn something in here just to get some incense, to get it going here. All kidding aside, Alek Manoah, the Jays win 12-2. Alek Manoah, 82.6%. First pitch strike throwing. That's the highest of his career. Alek Manoah, no walks for the first time in 27 starts, including playoffs. Yes, it's the Detroit Tigers. They stink. But Kevin, I don't know if Alek Manoah actually checked all the boxes off in the minors the Jays wanted him to, but yeah. Tonight he pretty much checked all the boxes for us.
Okay, how about this? We'll give you a checklist here. How about delivery tempo? Did you like that?
Loved it.
The shape of the spin. Did you like that? Early compared to later. The more he threw it, the better it looked,
yeah.
Right? You know, he could get it glove side. That's the big deal, right? You want to go away to a righty. You want to go back foot to a lefty. Did he get it better the more he threw it? That's
yes,
the
did.
Thing, right? He threw more four-seamers than sinkers.
Yes.
Reason why he did that is because of that reason. You mentioned strike ones, 19 out of 23.
Really
you
effective.
Get a whole, you want
really
to get
effective up in the zone,
too. Yeah, absolutely. You can control that a little bit more. Your misses are more competitive, right? You're not throwing that ball when you want it down the down the middle. That's the thing, right? John Snyder talked about something too. Pitches per inning, he averaged about 15.
Yep.
That's almost elite, right? When you got a guy that's coming back and, you know, wanting to pound the zone and is being told that's all you need to do, right? You got good enough stuff. Don't be afraid to do that. Don't nibble. Don't think about black. Think about outer third, inner third. You know, if you're going to miss when you're trying to go up, make sure you miss. Your misses are competitive. He did all of those things. The aggressive mindset is one of those things too. You could and the self-correcting. We saw that. It's the pitch that you throw that's non-competitive. Can you correct that when you're on the mound and not consistently do that over and over again? Because if you do, that means your pitch counts go up. That means your strike throwing goes down. That means you don't go deep as you want to go in the game. Like you're just totality of everything that you're trying to do on a mound to help your team win a baseball game just doesn't happen. So, yeah, can he get better with two strikes? Absolutely. He gave up five hits. Three of those were two strikes.
Yeah,
that can be better, right?
The first inning, I believe it was the first inning, he had a difficult time putting away a couple of hitters. And that was something that we had seen when he ran into trouble earlier this year was once he got to strike two. And I believe that the ineffectiveness of the slider is 95% of the problem there because that's his put away pitch. But he got better as he went on. And, you know, you made a point earlier today in Blair and Barker about we were saying, okay, what would be Alek Manoah going forward is he is just part, right? All they're asking him to do is be part of a very good rotation. He's not the ace now. He's not even the number one starter, if that matters anymore. They just need him to not let the side down. And you made a point today. I asked you innings, strikeouts. You said, you know what I would like to see? I would like to see Alek Manoah be good enough so that his team could put together a big inning for him. And you saw that. You saw that in the fourth inning of this game tonight. Big inning for the Blue Jays. And then, of course, it got out of hand.
Well, absolutely. Alek Manoah in the third inning, right, faced the six batters, gave up three hits, only gave up a run.
Yep.
The old Manoah at the beginning of the season probably couldn't have done that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The self-correcting, the, you know, don't let the moment get too big. Control your extension. Have better release point, right? We talked about that beginning of the game at the end of our show whenever we saw him warming up and he was drawing that line to have good finish, right? Don't fall so much off to the first base side. Don't, when your front foot hits the ground, do a bunch of spin. And what's that do? Your arm's playing catch up. Ball goes everywhere. No matter if it's a sinker, a four-seamer, a slider, if you don't have good extension, you can't throw the ball where you want it to go. So, look, can the velocity be a little bit better? Absolutely. Can the, we just mentioned, the two-strike pitches be better, be more competitive, have later break, you know, do it with a little bit more vinegar? Absolutely. Will he have to do that against better lineups? No question. I would assume the next one is against the Padres, it sounds like. He's going to have to add and subtract. He's going to have to be better with two strikes, right? You can't miss in the middle of the zone. You can't throw the cement mixing slider. I mean, everything he did is, when you're Pete Walker and you're John Snyder, which he was on our show, and he talked about what he needed to see.
You saw it.
I think he saw it. So you can build off of this. You got little things you can work on, especially early in the games. Mechanically, you know, mechanically he's never going to be perfect because he's a big dude. He's going to fall off. He's just trying to simplify it a little bit more where you don't fall off as much. So you can control the ball. You like the elevated fastball. You like the more he threw the slider. It got better with location. It tunneled longer. It broke later. It stayed in the zone longer. You can do those things to get hitters, no matter if they're a righty or a lefty. You can get those dudes out. So absolutely. How dare we talk about what the Blue Jays do with their players? Never again, Jeff.
416, at least not until Friday. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590, 12-2, a winning edition of Blue Jays baseball. The first of three games between the Jays and the Detroit Tigers leading up to the All-Star break. It's going to be the last chance to talk to Kevin and myself. We will be back on Friday. That's a week from today, ahead of the Diamondbacks series against the Blue Jays. Brent in Guelph, you want to talk about the, and I'm glad you want to make this comment because you want to give a shout out to the bullpen and the rotation for holding the fort in the absence of Alek Manoah.
Absolutely. While Manoah was down, I actually was wondering what was going on with him, and I seen that he had a really rough start down in Florida in AAA there, and I was kind of skeptical about him coming back up, but with him striking out eight, no walks, and his first pitch strikes were just definitely right on par, and he had something to prove today, and he definitely proved it, and we need that in our rotation, especially with Chad Green and Zach Pop coming off the injured list. I quite honestly believe that if Manoah can keep it up, the Jays have some serious depth that the team should be feared in the majors with Berríos, Gausman,
Bassett, Kikuchi.
Yeah, I mean, and now their bullpen with Francis Pearson. Pearson's been doing a really good job for us in Romano. I know he gives up the odd home run here and there, but hey, you know, that happens to the best of us. But he's still got the saves, and I think the bullpen has really done a really good job of holding this team up in the record that they have right now.
Yeah, Brent, listen, it's a great point. Thanks a lot for the call. We've talked about this. You know, the sort of the pluses and the minuses or the positives and the negatives, if you want to call it that, to the season so far. And one of the things we talked about going into the year is how if you looked at the teams that made the playoffs last year, one of the things they all had in common, or most of them had in common, was that they got a lot of innings out of their starting pitchers. I mean, I think we looked at it, what, the top eight teams in terms of starting pitchers' innings all made the playoffs. Of course, the flip side of that is their relief pitchers' innings are down. That allows the relief arms to be a little fresher going into the postseason. And then, quite frankly, once the postseason rolls around, you just abuse the hell out of your bullpen arms. I mean, it really doesn't matter at that point because you're trying to win a title. And whereas I think we can have a discussion as to whether or not this bullpen is capable of running the table in the postseason. Kevin, if Alek Manoah can be a guy that you can count on for five innings, mm-hmm. if Hyunjin Ryu comes back, as we're led to believe he could be, I mean, he could be here during the next homestand. Now, that might be pushing it a bit, but there's a possibility he's here during the first homestand out of the All-Star break. If that's the case, all of a sudden, you've got depth. All of a sudden, that is going to trickle down to the bullpen. Trevor Richards is going to be able to be used the way you want to use him as a reliever. Zach Pop is an interesting case. Maybe Zach Pop comes back. Chad Green could be here. So you're starting to get a sense, I think, of the depth that this organization could have if everything goes according to plan. I mean, my concern is that quite often everything doesn't go according to plan. And by and large, this team has been unusually healthy this year. But having said that, yep. I don't want to turn it into a negative. The caller's point is right. This starting rotation is good enough. This starting rotation is more than good enough to take you to the postseason.
Well, exactly the way Berríos has been doing and simplifying the mechanics and being able to repeat delivery.
Efficient.
There's no question, right? Just competitive, right? It's not non-competitive with multiple pitches and, you're going 2 1/3 and killing bullpens. For me, all the names that you mentioned, if that was to happen, and if you're Ross Atkins now and you know that that's going to happen and you got big leaguers instead of having to call up, double-A guys and triple-A guys, now you can go out and try and get you maybe instead of one bat, maybe two bats.
Well, exactly.
Right?
It increases your options.
Absolutely. So that for me is, I don't think it's pitching. Did they need another eighth inning guy? Absolutely. Simplify that. Eric Swanson, do you really know what you're getting down the stretch now? We talked to John, when I ask him about Eric Swanson,
they're aware that he's
it's choppy water.
Yeah,
right. So you're having to sort of figure out what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. So yeah, it's down to the offense for me. If they can figure out how to score more runs, now it's one thing to do it against the Tigers and the White Sox instead of the Orioles and the Rays and Yankees.
Though?
But this is giving them confidence, is what this is doing.
And we've talked about just win series. That's all we've talked about. And don't look now, but there's two games left before the All-Star break. The Tampa Bay Rays, they lost to the Atlanta Braves. Six in a row.
Yeah.
Baltimore, the last we looked, is winning. The Yankees lost. The Jays are ahead of the Yankees now. At this point, you've just got to keep winning series and then hope that maybe you go on one of those little runs, the 6 or 7 game winning streak at some point coming out of the All-Star break. That's where we are with the Blue Jays. And look, they swept the White Sox, including a doubleheader win. Doubleheader wins are never easy. It's never easy to sweep any team in baseball. It just, the odds just don't work out in your favor.
Nope.
And now they've won the first of two games against the Detroit Tigers. And I think it's safe to say that it was maybe the one game we looked at the pitching matchup and we thought, not necessarily because of the Tigers starter, but because of Alek Manoah, there were some unknowns.
Yep.
And the other thing, too, is you're starting to see the big inning. We saw the big inning in the 11th inning of the first game against Chicago. We saw that win last night in the second game. A couple of big hits. It wasn't the smoothest offensive performance.
Yeah.
A couple of outs in the bases. They got hits. And, Whit Merrifield's going into the – I think Whit Merrifield should go into the home run derby. Vladdy should just say to Whit, look, dude, you're there anyhow. You might as well take part
short
in the home
to it,
run.
Long there. Through it. That's what you're trying to do as a little man, right? You're trying to get a good pitch to hit. You're trying to stay in your strength. You want to be short and quick with your lower half. That's what he's doing, and he's barreling up baseball. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. You get that barrel above your head, you got a good chance of getting in the air, and that's what Witt's doing. Good for him. They're getting big hits when they need them. They're having the big inning when they're needing. That's what you do, Jeff, against bad teams. Your starter gives you a chance to have the big inning. That's why it's called a team game.
416-870-0590, *590 on your cell phone, 888-666-0590. We're here till 10:30. We have some lines open. It's your last chance to talk to us before after the All-Star break. Your thoughts on Alek Manoah's performance. Your thoughts on the performance of the lineup. Your thoughts on the first half. We're here for you. Jim in Hamilton, you've got a question for my good friend Kevin Barker.
Gentlemen, good day. I have multifaceted comments. Before I start, though, Jeff, have you brought in some Roma pizza for Kevin yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't. I'm not certain. Are you? You're not really a pizza guy, are you?
Not really.
No, he's not really a pizza guy.
Yeah, but Roma pizza is not really pizza, is what Kevin thinks pizza is.
Yeah, I know. It's basically dough with tomato sauce.
Anyway, small bone to pick with the two of you.
Uh-oh. Oh, just small bone. Well, if you're going to pick a bone, pick Kevin's
bone.
Might
as well go for it.
How many losses has Gausman had? And his losses are due to the Jays not producing offensively.
Right.
You look at Manoah's last five games before he went down. Okay, sure, he may have been responsible for two of them, but I think in three of them, they lost those games because of the offense.
He was not very good in most of those games. Let's be clear.
I'm not disagreeing that he shouldn't have been sent down.
No. I know you're not, but I'm saying he did not pitch well in any of those games.
The bats would have helped. The same way the bats would have helped Gausman.
Record. But you know, you've got to. I mean, at some point, you've got to. If you're a pitcher,
you did tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Do what you do tonight, and you'll be fine. But
that being said, the Jays are starting to build a bit of a momentum. I know it's against two not very good teams, but they haven't had much momentum throughout the entire season. They seem to go from one struggle to another struggle to they just never was able to gather some steam together. Kevin, as a player, now that the team is starting to gather some bit of a steam and a roll, how difficult after the All-Star break is it to pick that back up, both as an individual player and as a team?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jim. I don't think that's a big deal. I think it's about the opponent. I think it's about the pitcher that you're facing, right?
Yeah, momentum's the next day's starting pitcher.
Absolutely, right? I do think you can gain a lot of confidence going into the All-Star break. You can get healthier, right? Sometimes you need a mental break. You can just walk away and not have to worry about hitting balls off tee and how level's my swing and why am I not hitting that breaking ball and why are they throwing me that elevated fastball that I have real tough time hitting? And sometimes you can just walk away and it gets better because you're not thinking about it so much. So I think that's probably sometimes an easy excuse one way or the other. I think if you're a good team, you have quality at bats. The dude that you have on the mound is efficient, getting the other team out, giving your lineup a chance to have the big inning, you'll win a bunch of games because you're talented. I think that, for me, is why John Snyder, when we have him on our show and you listen to him talk, he's saying gain momentum going into the All-Star break. That's because he looked at the same schedule that we looked at. Mm. You're having trouble in your division, 7-20. Now you're facing teams that
You're out of your division for a long time.
There it is. Not very good.
Forget the 7-20. Doesn't matter now.
It's a good time to get healthy and get confident. And I think right now that's exactly what they're doing. So it's going to be a good little break for him just to walk away and not think about it anymore. Like Dalton Varsho, you could tell when he got out with the position player. Ain't no likey that. Like that's not something he really wanted to face.
By the way.
He didn't like that too much. And, you know, you're pulling for him because he's a trier.
By the way, we both looked at each other during Bo Bichette's at-bat against the position. I don't even remember the dude's name. What was it? Yeah, short, whatever.
He takes the 0-0 first pitch that's like 42 miles an hour and hits it down the right field line.
Yeah, he lets it travel deep. Yeah. It's like he's keeping his approach against a position player. It was remarkable.
It's elite.
Speaking of John Schneider, the Blue Jays manager, he was asked about the story of the day, maybe the story of this week for the Blue Jays, Alek Manoah. This was the manager's comments on the work of a guy who was, let's not forget, his opening day starter.
Thought he was great. Command was good in the zone. You know, pretty much kind of what we saw, you know, what we were seeing down in Florida and in New Hampshire. Thought his delivery was really good. Couple pitches up and he was able to fix it, I think, really quickly, which is great. I think it was 8 strikeouts, didn't walk anybody. Really, I think the inning they scored in was some soft contact and, you know, finished on a high note. You know, I thought he was really good between delivery, his tempo, and kind of just overall, it was just good to have the big fella back in the dugout. You know, I'm sure first inning he was probably a little amped up, got through it, and kind of got on a little bit of a roll and, you know, carried it over. It was just, you know, it's kind of him, you know, it was typical him. So it was really, really nice, I think, for him and for the rest of the team to kind of feel that energy that he does bring, and he was backing it up on the mound.
It was interesting too, Kevin. I think we spend a lot of time looking at how Alek Manoah looked on the mound. You made a point with John Schneider earlier today about whether or not the organization liked it, whether or not John Schneider liked it, whether or not Alek Manoah liked it. Optics were going to be a big part of this.
Absolutely.
People were going to be looking at how Alek Manoah was on the mound. What I liked the fact there was no drama. Now, he did clip his foot on the delivery, got balk. The balk call.
Yeah.
But there was no drama. There was no staring in at the ump. I mean, there was none of that stuff. You know, the pitch timer didn't matter. Danny Jansen behind the plate.
Yeah.
They worked well together. There was no drama. And I really liked the demeanor. I liked the way he got on and off the field. It was just it. You know what it was? It was almost like Alek Manoah saying, I'm probably not all there yet, but at least you can relax when I'm out there. At least you can relax when I'm out there and not feel as if calamity is just one pitch away.
Yeah, I like what they talk about, the delivery tempo. It's not the pitch timer tempo. That has nothing to do with it. It's not the, you know, he's getting the ball, he's getting the sign. It's 8 seconds, it's 7 seconds, it's 6 seconds, it's 5 seconds. That has nothing to do with it. It's the delivery. It's how quickly the ball comes out of the glove. It's how quickly the arm swing is. It's how quickly and gathered and anchored on his back leg, which is the one on the rubber, when he goes down the slope. That's what they're talking about, tempo. It has nothing to do with all that other stuff. I know we've talked about that, right? The pitch timer, it's messed him up. You remember when he rubbed the ball down? Yeah, it has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I'm not certain about that.
Well, I've been told about people that are a lot closer to that than I am, and you are.
I'm not certain about that.
You can say what you want.
I know, I'm good.
Okay, go for it. But it's like Bo Bichette hitting cleanup. You can say that till you're a little younger. I don't know if that's going to happen anytime. But... I think he's answered some questions that, you know, people wanted to
And his next start will be against the San Diego Padres. He's going to have some downtime.
Yeah.
Probably 7 to 10 days downtime.
You know what?
Probably. And
he looked like a big leaguer.
Yeah, he did.
There you go.
He did. He wasn't necessarily facing a big league lineup, but he did look like a big league.
Leave it to you.
I'm just saying.
To ruin the mood.
It's entirely possible that they brought him up to face the Tigers because the Tigers lineup is worse than what he might have seen in AAA.
They're not going to give him another start in AA and say, hey, big fella, come in and face the Padres at home. No pressure.
416-870-0590, *591, AAA 666-0590. It is a giddy Kevin Barker tonight.
How about it?
Because the Blue Jays have beaten the Detroit. They've slayed the Tigers. Slayed the Tigers. 12-2 in the first game of a three-game series.
He wanted to be a Tiger, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He did say he wanted to be a Tiger, and he wanted to be a horse, he said. And
he's on his way.
He's on his way. There you go. He's channeling his inner
I see what you're doing.
Animal spirit.
It ain't going to work.
What do you mean?
10:05 on Friday. It ain't working.
I know. 12-2, the Jays have won. The numbers, as always, 416-870-0590, *591, AAA 666-0590. We'll take a look around the major league standings. We'll take a look around the majors. Look at the AL East. Some interesting results tonight if you're a Blue Jays fan. Some good results tonight if you're a Blue Jays fan. It's Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, the Sportsnet Radio Network.
You know, you find out who's who when you get your butt kicked, you know. And, you know, I got my butt kicked and had two decisions, you know. Could lay down and, you know, let everybody down or fight my way back. So, not one point through this whole thing was I ready to give up, or did I not think I would pitch in the big leagues again. I was just looking forward to grinding every day and working hard every day and knowing that we were going to get it right and, you know, just continue to build off of it.
That was Alek Manoah after his 8-strikeout performance tonight. Again, 19 of 23 first pitch strikes, 91 of 64. Or 64 of his 91 pitches were strikes. That's the highest percentage of first pitch strikes of any start in his career. No walks. First time in 27 starts. That includes playoffs. 416-870-0590, *591, AAA 666-0590. Time for the Major League Standings Watch presented by Bet365. Download the Bet365 app and check out the latest odds for today's baseball games. 19+. Play responsibly. Ontario only. A good night, largely good night, on the out-of-town scoreboard if you are a Blue Jays fan. The Blue Jays, a 12-2 win over the Detroit Tigers. The Tampa Bay Rays, they're still leading the AL East, but they are, dare we say, in a slump. Swept by the Philadelphia Phillies. 2-1 losers tonight to the Atlanta Braves. As if that wasn't enough, Tyler Glasnow, who has had repeated stints on the IL, left the game with what the organization is calling a cramp in his throwing hand. Now, that's all we're getting from them. And there certainly, there does not appear to be any, you didn't get the sense there was any panic on the part of Kevin Cash. But it's not good that they lost to the Braves, if you're the Rays. And if Tyler Glasnow has another issue, anything, Kevin, that's going to interfere with his mechanics in any way, shape, or form, you've got to treat that just with kid gloves. If you are the Tampa Bay
Rays. It also opens the door for the Orioles, for the Yankees, for the Blue Jays.
Well, speaking of that, the Yankees were shut out tonight 3-0 by the Chicago Cubs in the Bronx. Not a happy crowd in the Bronx tonight by any stretch of the imagination. The Baltimore Orioles and Minnesota Twins, they are tied at 1 in the bottom of the 7th. Go Twinkies, go. And the Boston Red Sox. I can say that. The Boston Red Sox beat the Oakland Athletics 7-3. So as we look at the AL East standings, movement on the standings board, the Rays are 57 and 34. They've lost 6 in a row. They have a 3.5 game lead on the Baltimore Orioles, who are 51 and 35 currently playing. The Blue Jays have now moved ahead of the New York Yankees into sole possession of a wild card spot. They are 49 and 40. The Yankees are 48 and 41, and the Boston Red Sox, they've won 3 in a row. They are 46 and 43. The Red Sox are playing Oakland, as we mentioned, to end the series. The Yankees are playing the Cubs. The Orioles are playing the Twins. You know that the Jays are playing Detroit. And again, Tampa Bay's got 2 more games left against Atlanta. So, folks, I mean, if the Jays can go 51 and 40, win the next 2 games and go 51 and 40, Tampa keeps losing. The Jays can find themselves 5 back. Back of the AL East lead. Now, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves. 5 back, though, of the AL East lead going into the All-Star break. If you thought that was going to be the case 6 weeks ago, you're a liar. 416-870-0590. Star 590-888-666-0590. You never thought that. Tyler and Hamilton, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey guys, obviously tonight, but I just want to comment on what the movement was on some of his sliders and two seamers tonight. Like, it looked like flashes of elite level stuff, and I couldn't be happier to see that.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I mean, elite level stuff, it was better.
Elite might be strong.
Elite might be strong. It took him a while to get
consistent
it,
later.
It took him a while to get it going. He threw a really nice slider to, was it Badu in the second inning? He got a called third strike with it. It was the end of a 6-pitch at bat. I'll say this about Alec Manoa. Kevin made the point, and he's right. It got better as the game went on, which I kind of expected to see. I kind of expected to see that. The slider.
Yeah, he got 4 whiffs on the slider. Normally, if it's really good, it has, it's tunneling longer. It's a little bit more consistent. Absolutely. The 2 strike pitches, that for me is where you sometimes, if it's really good, it's coming. There's still not anything you can do about it. He had 8 called strikes on 53 combined fastballs. That's the 4-seamer and the 2-seamer combined. He only had 8 called strikes. That for me, that goes up a little bit more. That gets you in swing mode. Then you start chasing the slider a little bit more. That's why everything feeds off the fastball. You locate that. It's quality. You have tougher takes with the 2 fastballs. That'll make the slider that much better. This is exactly the way it was supposed to look in his first start back.
Absolutely. That's a great point.
It
looked like a professional outing from a guy who was sent down and working on some stuff.
Boom. You nailed it.
And
got something to build off of.
I was going to say, the big thing for me is at some point in the next couple of days, if you're Pete Walker or whoever, you can sit down with Alek Manoah. You can pull out the iPad because God knows they love him some iPads. You can pull out the iPad and you've got some positive reinforcement to give a dude who really needs positive reinforcement. You can say, look at that pitch. That's the way it was supposed to look. Look at your pace. That's what we wanted to see. Look at your efficiency. That's what we wanted to see. You made an interesting point just before the game started today. We're lucky. We have a monitor here, and we were doing Blair and Barker, and we had a shot of the bullpen, and Alek Manoah had drawn two perpendicular lines from the pitcher's mound towards home plate in the bullpen. And you could see him consciously working on landing within those lines.
Yeah, and staying in those lines.
Staying within those lines.
Yeah.
And going towards home plate. And I think that is something that just kind of reinforces where Alek Manoah is right now. But again, I can't stress this enough. And we mentioned this with John Schneider. The kind of the beauty thing about this is the rotation is so good right now. Mm-hmm. Alek Manoah isn't joining this team to save them. Yeah. Alek Manoah is joining a really good rotation that's got it going on. And all they're saying to Alek is, help us.
That's it.
And Alek understands that. I don't have to, you know what? Forget opening day starter. Forget Cy Young finalist. As people in the organization will tell you, Alec's going to have to do a crap ton of work in the offseason. They are going to put so much in his plate in the offseason to get ready for next year.
Throwing program, conditioning, those kind of things.
He's not gone through anything like this so far, like what they are going to give him to do in the offseason. But that's the offseason. Right now, give us a chance to win. Compete your ass off. We know you can do it. We know Alek Manoah can compete.
Absolutely.
If that's the case, man, and again, I keep mentioning this, if Hyunjin Ryu comes back, you know, Chris Bassitt talked about this the other day. Suddenly you're going from a four-man rotation to possibly a six-man rotation, and we all know how good Kevin Gausman is with that extra day.
Yeah.
Like, this is, I can't stress the positive energy you're getting out of what Alek Manoah did tonight, the way this is possibly setting things up for the second half. I don't think it could have gone any better, Kevin.
It's almost like if you get all those things lined up, if you just don't beat yourself, if you continue to play defense like you're playing it, don't run yourself into outs. You know, occasionally Vladdy taking the big turnaround second. Why are you doing that? You don't have to do that. Don't give a bad team a chance to beat you by running into outs. If they can just stay away from those things because of the way they can pitch and the way they're lining things up, and maybe the offense is starting to have that bigger inning more often now. Bigger innings means instead of scoring one or two, you can score three, four, five, six, seven in an inning, which would allow you to help your manager, your pitching coach, and all those dudes that you're trying to go to late in games. So, yeah, it makes them a better team, absolutely.
Garvey and Scarborough, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
How about those Toronto Blue Jays? 49-40 right now, 9 games over .500. Right, battling Baltimore for the first place division, okay?
Huh?
Right? There's so many good things to talk about these Toronto Blue Jays. I miss Fergie Oliver.
Oh,
okay.
Give me Garvey. Anyhow. Garvey, take a breath. Take a breath.
All right.
Okay,
all right.
Take a breath.
I did.
Give me three good things.
The rotation.
Mm-hmm.
The rotation. It's all about pitching about these Toronto Blue Jays right now because the offense is not clicking. Because we haven't identified the proper lineup. Varsho went 0-5 today.
Yes.
Belt went 0-4 today. Okay. You know, Chapman, I think he did his thing today, right? He's fighting for a contract. I just think we need to, like, put the players, we need to take a John Gibbons approach. Okay. I'm not sure how you feel about that statement.
What is a John Gibbons approach?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Yeah, you better tell us what a John Gibbons approach is, because, yeah.
All right, I'm ready to answer that one.
Okay.
Right? So, John Gibbons reinvented the game by putting Josh Donaldson number two, and he was the MVP of the season, correct?
How did he reinvent that?
On a team that had Edwin and Jose Bautista.
Yeah, wait.
Right?
How did he reinvent putting Josh Donaldson in the number two spot is where generally where teams put their best hitters.
Historically, in baseball, you put your best player number three.
No.
He moved him up to number two.
No.
And Josh Donaldson.
Who's the best player in the Blue Jays? Who's the best player in the Blue Jays this year?
Right now?
Yeah. If you don't answer Bo Bichette, I'm going to cut you off.
Okay. Well, listen, is Bo okay?
Yeah. Well, where does Bo hit?
No, but is he all right? Because he looked like he was hurt.
Okay, we're going to move on. Sorry about that. I mean, what are you going to do? I gave the guy his chance to have a say.
He said it.
He did.
He did.
Rotation, rotation, rotation.
That's a good answer.
And Bo, I don't know, did Bo look hurt to you? I don't know.
When he slid into home, I think, head first.
Oh, okay. Probably shouldn't slide into home head first.
He's played a lot.
He has. Matt in Vancouver, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, fellas. So I had a rule question and a hypothesis just on Alec Manoah if I have time. And, yeah, the rule question is can a leading team also bring in a position player to pitch even if they're the team leading? Because it's not like they're just dropping in hits every time.
No, you got to be down. I think you have to be down by a certain number of runs.
Only down. So if
let me tell you something too. If you're beating a team badly enough that you're bringing a position player in, you're going to have a bench clearing or a dugout clearing brawl to end all dugout clearing brawls. Because if you're kicking my ass 12-2 and you bring in, you know, Johnny multitask from the outfield to pitch, I'm taking a bat to your head. So no, you're not going to see that.
All righty. Well, I had one thing about Alec Manoah. I think, still could be fun though, but no. Anyway, Alec Manoah, he doesn't have to be like the ace of the staff. At least this is just my my expectation.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have he's not like best at team because it looked like he was kind of topping out at like 94, and I did see him kind of spraying the fastball a little bit earlier on in counts, and I didn't quite see the arm side run on the sinker that we've seen in the past. I think when he first came into the league, the tunneling, as you say, on the sinker was just kind of unbelievable. So I didn't see quite that level of movement, but I think that if you could kind of get like, I guess, 5 innings now, and, you know, occasionally he's going to have a quick hook. They got to quick hook him, but 5 innings and occasionally, you know, the quality start, if they can get it, I guess I'll take it. You know, I feel pretty good about the rotation as well, but I want to fix that, get one more guy who can hit maybe.
Yeah. Lineup. Thanks for the call. A great call, and I'm with you completely. I like to get two more guys who can hit, to be honest. I think you need
Absolutely.
I said this. I think you need to do what Alex Anthopoulos did with the Atlanta Braves a couple of years ago, and that is add a couple of guys who are doing well at that time. They may not be superstars. You're not going to go out and add Juan Soto and Shohei Ohtani, but maybe add a couple of guys that bring some variety to your lineup, right? Maybe you add a guy who is
an elevated fastball.
Exactly. Somebody who can hit it. As I said on Blair and Bark today, somebody that's going to keep Brandon Belt on the bench for a few more at-bats would be really good. And Barker also made this point. I mean, I love Dalton Varsho, but if you can bring somebody in here who's a little better that you can play in September at times and have Dalton Varsho on the bench, I'm okay with that. I don't care about who Dalton Varsho was traded for. If I'm going to win the World Series, I'm not worried about the reputation of the general manager, the reputation of the front office, or frankly, the reputation of Dalton Varsho or Dalton Varsho's psyche. If I got a chance to get better and get somebody in here who's going to add some a different type of dynamic component to my lineup, I'm doing it. And I think that's, I mean, they're spending $250 million to put this product in the field right now. I can't imagine that now that you've done that, you're going to start worrying about the cost of the light bulbs. You know, I just can't.
I think you nailed it. Well said.
And as for the starting pitcher, I'm with the caller completely. Just Alec Manoah just has to compete. Give me some efficient innings. And then we'll worry about what happens when we get into the fifth.
Yeah, there's some more four-seamers, too, instead of throwing, you know, living and dying with the two-seamer. That's a big deal. You want to control that. You want to try and go a little deeper. You want to be quality with your strikes with the four-seamer. It's called pitching.
Amar and Markham, you've been very patient. Go ahead, please.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
We are doing well, thank you.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. Love the show, guys.
Thank you and welcome.
I just wanted to ask you, well, a couple of things. First of all, Manoah, solid start. You know, hopefully you can keep building on that. But more importantly, I wanted to talk to you, and you just mentioned this a couple of callers ago about Brandon Belt. So there was a couple of opportunities in this game where, you know, there were bases loaded. Brandon Belt was up to bat, and Vladdy didn't really get a chance, and he was sitting in the four hole. So I was thinking, or I wanted to ask you, what do you think about moving Vladdy back up to the third hole, given that, you know, he's had a solid couple of weeks?
I'll pass that over to Kevin.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I think we went down this road before, haven't we?
Like, well, you can reiterate why Brandon Belt is hitting third.
Well, exactly the way Vladdy won the game the other night with the two-run homer is late in the game. You're down a run. Brandon Belt walks. Vladdy comes up, gets a hanging 2-1 slider, and hits a home run to right. That's the whole point, right? If Vladdy was doing Vladdy things that he did a couple of years ago, he's hitting third. Like, the mental part of that, two dudes hitting in front of you who are very aggressive, you know, gets the three pitches, the two outs, and he really doesn't know how to have an at bat, right? And it's sort of all over the place he's chasing. That's been the Vladdy this year. And they're trying to simplify it, force the pitcher, because there's traffic on the bases, to throw a pitch down the middle or make a bonehead pitch and not throw 101 in and hang a slider middle away and get a two-run homer late in the game to try and have a big inning. That's what it's about, right? Right now, this is what you're seeing. Does anybody like Brandon Belt hitting third? Right. Nobody. But this is what you're
Brandon
dealt.
Brandon Belt probably doesn't even like
this
Brandon
is,
Belt.
There you third. Go. This is what you're dealt. This is who you have on your team. Brandon Belt against right-handed pitching is going to play. This is probably right now better for the team because of who's not doing well, what it takes for them to do well, trying to have the big inning because of who you don't have. This guy walks, gets on base, which is what they love, trying to force the pitcher to throw in the zone to dudes to change the game with a crooked homer instead of a solo shot. Like, there's numerous reasons.
Yeah,
it's not like John's sitting around going, how can I screw this up and put Brandon Belt in the top four spots in the lineup? That's not how this is working.
No, they have Brandon Belt. He's going to play. There's really only one thing Brandon Belt does well offensively, and that's see a lot of pitches and draw a walk. Tonight, a couple of runs scored by Brandon Belt on two walks. And if you put him in the three hole behind in front of Vladdy, you're hopefully having Vladdy come up, not just with somebody in base, but against a pitcher who's probably had to throw six or seven pitches already to get Brandon Belt out. And Barker's point is well made. Springer, Bichette, they're aggressive.
Very.
So you've got two quick outs possibly. Then here comes Brandon Belt, and he's going to work you a little
bit. That's not going to change the at-bat that Brandon has. That would change the at-bat that Vladdy has if he's following those two dudes. And they know it.
Yeah.
That's why they're trying to put the belt in front of Vladdy. Right now it makes sense.
Yes, right now it makes sense.
Because you don't have any other option. Like, that's, you're trying to get the best out of everybody, and this is the way they're trying to do it.
Hopefully the argument has changed a little bit after
Fingers crossed, Jeff.
All right, 12-2, the Blue Jays. They have beaten the Detroit Tigers. Game 2 of that series goes tomorrow at 1:10. Mr. Barker and myself are off until next Friday. You can join us on Blair and Barker, then we'll be doing Blue Jays talk as well. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Crown Rust Protection. Now that summer's arrived, it's road trip season. Make sure your vehicle is protected from rust with Crown. Visit crown.com for a special summer offer today. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.